You know, over the last couple of weeks now, we've been looking at, on the subject of pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. And over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at who the Holy Spirit is. We've looked at where is he right now. And we spoke last week about walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, what it looks like. And I don't know if any of you have become so mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the week that's just been, that he's our helper, that he's able and willing to help us in all areas of our lives. We can experience him as he teaches us, as he leads us, as he guides us. This is who the Holy Spirit is. And today we're going to look at how he empowers us. Look at that, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so our key scripture for today comes from Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So before, it's going to come up on the screen in a minute. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. And just to set the scene, the background to this scripture is that Jesus had been crucified, he'd been buried, and he'd been raised from the dead. And this happened now 40 days in the period between his resurrection and his ascension. And Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. So he'd already been crucified, buried, raised from the dead. And he spoke these words to his disciples, and starts in verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them," with the disciples, "he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father," capital P, the promise of the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, in other words, "which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." Verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power." Verse 8. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been learning a lot of Greek words. Are you ready to add to your Greek vocabulary? Yes, good. The word for power, verse 8, "you shall receive power." Are you sitting down? Cool. Because the Greek word for power is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from, dunamis. And that word dunamis actually means inherent power. In other words, it's power residing in something by virtue of its nature. It's not an add-on. It already exists because of its nature. In other words, it's ingrained. That dunamis, that power, is ingrained. It's hardwired. You can't separate it. It's stuck so firmly. The dunamis is stuck so firmly it can't be separated. So you cannot separate the Holy Spirit from his power. You cannot. They are one and the same. The dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit. So whether it be power for performing miracles, or even moral power for transforming a person's soul, I think that's the most powerful one. The moral power to transform someone's life inwardly, that is power. That is absolute power. That's the dunamis. So today we're going to look at three aspects of the Holy Spirit's empowerment in the life of the believer. Okay, we're going to look at sealed, filled, and empowered. Okay, so if we're going to start with sealed. So sealed, at salvation, when we are born again of the Spirit, we are sealed with the Spirit. We become God's possession. Listen to these scriptures. They are amazing. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says this, "In him, in Christ, in Jesus, you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth." He's talking about salvation here. So you heard the gospel. You heard the word of truth. And you trusted in Jesus for your salvation. Okay? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There we go, with promise again. Holy Spirit of promise. So we heard the gospel. We trusted in Jesus for our salvation. We believe him. At that point, when we believe, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Another one. There's a few, but I'm only going to share two, promise. Ephesians 4:30 says this, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." We know that the Holy Spirit is a person. You can only grieve a person. You can't grieve a force. You can't grieve a thing. So we know that the Holy Spirit is a person. And he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Our day of redemption is coming, whether you believe it or not. All of us have an expiry date, or else Jesus is coming back. One of the two. That's our day of redemption. But we were sealed for that day, for the day of our redemption. So what is a seal? How does this work? A seal is an identifying mark on a contract. So if you've purchased something of significant value, maybe a car or a house or anything really, even any item that you've bought on a contract. But the way that it used to happen historically was that there would be a contract written, they would take a piece of wax, they would melt that wax to seal that contract, and taking a person's signet ring, their impression would be enforced and imprinted on that wax. So in other words, that document would be used to validate the source of the document and the authenticity of the author. And it's a bit like today when we have letterheads. When we write a letterhead, so I recently wrote a letter on behalf of somebody in the church, and I had to write it on a family church letterhead, and I signed it. And actually, on top of that, we had to stamp it with the church stamp. That was the church seal. So, and what that document shows you, though, is that the letterhead validates the source of the document. This person represents Family Church. And it authenticates the author. This person is allowed to sign on behalf of Family Church. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He validates us. He validates us. I love languages. I'm not very good at different languages, but I love languages. And I took Latin at school, and I'm so glad I did. I wish I'd taken it longer, because I looked it up. That word validate is from the Latin word validare. So Greek, a bit of Latin thrown in today, okay? But it means to be legally accepted. We are legally, you know, everything Jesus does for us and in us is done legally. He does things legally. We are legally accepted, and he is the author. We belong to him. So to be sealed with the Holy Spirit means you are marked. You are a marked man or woman. If you are born again, you're marked. And it's a bit like as a farmer, it's another example would be like cattle. You know, cattle are branded. They get this burning, it sounds horrific, it probably is. I don't know if animal rights really agree to this stuff, but anyway, they do it in America. Blame the Americans, okay, we don't do it here. But they brand cattle so that they know who that cow and those bulls and cows belong to validate the owner. Recently, we went to Staunton Farm. It's a lovely little place to go to, especially when the sheep or the little lambs are born. And what they do is the farmer marks the lambs with spray paint. He spray paints number 203, lamb number 203, you with mummy 203. So they know who do those lambs belong to. So the good news is, though, we aren't cattle. And we aren't sheep, although Jesus is our good shepherd. But what sets us apart, we're not going to be branded. We're not going to be spray painted. But what sets us apart is our seal. That rather than a branding or a spray paint job, we are sealed with a person. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He is the person, the third person of the Godhead. So God sets his seal upon us to identify us as his. What an amazing thought, isn't it? So a seal communicates ownership, validation, and relationship. In other words, possession. Possession. Do you know you're possessed? You're possessed with the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of life. Listen to this in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It says this: you are a chosen race. You are a chosen race. Isn't this good news? A royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is who we are as a church. A people for his own possession. That's who we are. We belong to God. We belong to Jesus. We are God's possession. We've been bought with a price. And that Holy Spirit seal secures us until the day of our redemption. In other words, God makes a down payment for us. It's like a deposit. He makes a deposit in the person of the Holy Spirit. What a thought. He's identified you. He's marked you as his own. Your redemption is guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's the down payment. The holy seal of the Holy Spirit sets you apart from judgment. There's no more sacrifice required for your sin or mine. You are accepted by God, sealed with the Holy Spirit. My next point, filled. We're filled with the Holy Spirit at salvation. And not only that, we become God's temple. We become God's temple. You know, under the old covenant, what used to happen was God's presence, his spirit, was limited to a tabernacle. It was limited to a tabernacle, which only the priests could enter. And the priests had to be ceremonially washed and cleansed. They had to go through rituals that have to be adhered to, that to every jot and tittle, everything, every T had to be crossed, every I dotted. Or else if they went into the Holy of Holies without doing it all right, they would die. They would die. I mean, that was quite severe. But there were certain things they had to do. They had to wash their clothes. And you think, well, hello, yes, that's what we do anyway, isn't it? But you know what? In biblical times, to wash your body was a luxury because water was scarce. They didn't have dams like we have now. Water was used for drinking and for cooking, not so much for washing. But they had to be washed. Their clothes had to be washed. They had to wear certain clothes. They had to wear linen ephod and all these various things that they had to wear. They had to offer certain sacrifices. They had to abstain from normal pleasures. You know, no chocolate at all, ever. Nothing like that. Certain foods, they had to be anointed with oil. There had to be the sprinkling of blood. I mean, it just sounds like works. It's just works. But that's what they would do. And the Bible says that they would minister daily, repeatedly, offering sacrifices. And once a year, they would enter into the most holy place and atone for the people's sins. Imagine if you were the guy that, you know, sinned the first day after that. It's like, oh, thank you. We've got to go through all this in a year's time again, you know. But every year, they had to do this to atone for people's sins using the blood of bulls and goats. This was not God's final plan. This was not his final plan. God's plan was always to dwell in man, not in buildings. And he did this by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sin. Hebrews 10:10 says, once for all. Once for all. Jesus doesn't, when we sin, Jesus doesn't have to go to the cross again. He's paid the price once for all. So, through his death, his sacrificial death, he makes this living way for us who were unholy. That's you and me. We were unholy, but the blood of Jesus makes us holy. So, under the old covenant, God's presence, his spirit, was limited to the tabernacle made of bricks and mortar. But under the new covenant, God has made a way for the Holy Spirit to tabernacle within us, dwelling in man, in flesh and blood tabernacle. The Holy Spirit now tabernacles with man. In other words, he's moved in. He's taken up permanent residence in each one of us who call him our Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Listen to this scripture. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Oikeo, oikeo, he dwells in you, he inhabits you, he remains in you. You are the temple of God. At salvation, we become the temple, the tabernacle of God, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us. An amazing thought. We were created to be carriers of the presence of God, to host the presence of God, to host the Spirit of God. So as believers, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for our own benefit, I'm going to look at quickly a couple of benefits of this. Number one, by being filled with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit tabernacling within us, number one, he transforms us from the inside out into the image of Jesus. Listen to this beautiful scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. Oh, this is one of my favorites. It says, but we all, I love that. We all, things don't happen in isolation. We need each other. We all, with unveiled face. In other words, the veil that separated holy from unholy has been torn. The veil was torn when Jesus was crucified. And that we have access due to that, we have access. The unholy, we can come before God and receive him as our Savior, and we have access, and we can behold him as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. With that, there's that unveiled, there's nothing between us and God. There's nothing between us and God. The veil's been lifted, and we are being transformed. Notice it's continuous present tense. It doesn't happen in an instant. Man, you've got the rest of your life to be transformed. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'll read that again. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror, when you look into the perfect law of liberty and you see Jesus on every page of this Bible, when you look into that perfect law, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. We're being transformed into the same image of Jesus from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, there's an expression that says, what you behold is what you become. You know, whatever you behold, you become. You start staring into the face of Jesus, you're going to become like him. The more you behold him, the more you become like him. But it's by the Holy Spirit we are transformed into the same image, the same likeness. So the Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. He empowers us to walk in freedom and victory and wholeness. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the verse before, verse 18, says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Galatians 5:1 says that it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. What does that mean? Freedom from guilt, freedom from shame, freedom from our past, freedom from yesterday. Freedom from the law. We don't have to follow the Ten Commandments, but we want to. He changes our want to. He just changes us from the inside out, but we don't have to walk according to rules and regulations. And we have freedom to enjoy close, intimate relationship with our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. So he empowers us to walk in freedom and wholeness. He enables us to live the life that he's called us to live. When it comes to forgiveness, when it comes to releasing, when it comes to healing, when it comes to these aspects in our lives. Listen to what Galatians 5:16 says. The Apostle Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's that look like? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It means, so if you're going to bite someone's head off, walk in the Spirit. Holy Spirit saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Yield to that prompting, yield to it. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to do it. No, that's walking in the flesh. We're going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is never satisfied, it's never. We're going to have the flesh until the day we die. Okay, it's a part of us that's unrenewed. We'll go into that at some point. But anyway, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 4, brilliant scripture. We read one part of it earlier. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then he goes on, he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Like, what is clamor? Gosh, it sounds awful. Evil speaking, be put away with you with all malice, with everything bad, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Yeah, he's telling us, he's given us this list. Do this. This is how we walk in the Spirit. In other words, but he tells us what to do, but he gives us the power, the ability, the dunamis, to do it. He says, this is the way I want you to live. Here's the power. Do it. Okay, cool. We're on to that. So he enables. And then fourthly, consecration. By being, living consecrated lives enables us to live lives that are separated to Him. We read it earlier that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What does that mean, a royal priesthood? How can a priest be royal? Because we are called to be kings and priests to our God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This here is a holy nation. We are consecrated. We are set apart from the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are a holy nation. We are citizens of heaven. This is who we are. And the Holy Spirit empowers us, enables us to live these lives consecrated to Him. And I tell you, young people, I want to just pray for you guys. There's so much draw from the world. But just live consecrated lives. Just choose. I'm not going to be drawn to that. I'm going to choose God's way in all of my goings and all in my coming and goings. So we are sealed by, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are also empowered with the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? We're empowered with the Holy Spirit. So a believer is baptized. We're going into a Greek lesson. We are baptized in the Spirit when you experience God's supernatural power and life. That word, baptize, Greek word coming up, okay? You can add it to your Greek vocabulary. The Greek word is baptizo. That's an easy one. Easy to remember, isn't it? Baptizo. But what does it mean? I'm not just saying these words because it sounds good, okay? But I love the meaning behind these words. It means to immerse, to make fully wet, to plunge. That's why we don't believe in sprinkling. We believe in full water immersion in the sea, down South Sea Way in the freezing cold. And a few people have experienced that already, and we're going to have some more baptisms. But we see this in a water baptism. And with the very first scripture we read at the start of this message, we read these words where Jesus said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He's using that as an example to explain to you what is going to happen to you. If water baptism by John was full immersion, full plunge, immersion, soaking, so is the same word, baptize in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be plunged. You're going to be immersed. You're going to be soaked in the Holy Spirit today. Today, okay? So a water baptism is like an outward sign of what it looks like, but the Holy Spirit baptism is what's going to happen on the inside, on the inside. So a believer is empowered by the Spirit when they submit their lives to Him. Ask Him to fill and empower every part of their lives to benefit not only themselves, but others as well. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit mostly benefits us. The empowering of the Holy Spirit benefits us, but also benefits others. So I'm just going to go through a few quick points. Number one, the Holy Spirit provides boldness for us to share our faith. We read it in Acts chapter 2, right in the beginning, Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, dunamis, and you shall be my witnesses. It doesn't mean you have to go around witnessing, but you will be my witness. So when you go to work, you are a witness. You're a witness. You're a testimony to your colleagues that there's something different about you. There's something different about you. You shall be witnesses. The Holy Spirit gives us supernatural ability. And we see this in the Great Commission when Jesus says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You shall raise the dead. These are supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to fulfill the Great Commission, to go and lay hands on the sick, speak in tongues, raise the dead. The Holy Spirit will empower the believer with some of the spiritual gifts. We'll touch on those next week. But just to give you a shot of what the benefits are of being baptized, empowered in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit provides ability and power to minister to others. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been like this, and you've tried to help somebody, and it's like, I just can't quite get what it is God wants to say. Then we just need to go back. Lord, what do you want to say? Just humble yourself. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do you want to say? He gives us the power and the ability, the dunamis power within us. Look at Luke 4:18. This is Jesus. He's just been through 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and prayer, of being tempted by the devil. He comes out there in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. He enters Nazareth, and I love what the Bible says, that he walked into the temple as was his custom. Hallelujah. As was his custom. Jesus went to the tabernacle. He went to the synagogue on a Sunday, on the Sabbath. Okay, praise God. I'm preaching to the converted. The choir's here. Praise God. So anybody not here, contact them. Say, where were you? We missed you. Okay, Stephen? Good. Stephen's noted you. Who's not here? Those that are listening. Okay. But Luke 4:18, Jesus walks into the synagogue as was his custom. He's handed the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, and he opens it up and he reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He, the Spirit of the Lord, has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And you think, well done, Jesus. But hang on. This is not just for Jesus. Jesus ministered as a man. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. The same anointing that was with Jesus, that was upon Jesus, is in us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We can stand up in the morning and quote Luke 4:18, declare it over our own lives. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. It's not by might and it's not by my own power, but it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set to recover your sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. We are called to live Spirit-sealed, Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered lives. This is God's plan for our lives. So how do we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? How do we receive? You've got to qualify. You've got to have a degree. You've got to have a BA degree. You've got to be born again. That's it. You must be born again. That's the qualification. You must be born again to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's a couple of little steps. Ask. Ask. Ask God. ask Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. There's an account in Luke 11 where Jesus says, he speaks about, he compares a natural father to our heavenly Father, because he says, how many of you will ask a father that is among you, your natural fathers, and ask for bread, and your natural father will give you a stone? If your child came to you today and said, can I have some bread, please? Would you give them a stone? No. If they asked for a fish, would you give them a serpent? No. If you ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? No. He says this. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father, the Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to receive anyone else. You will receive the Holy Spirit. Very important. Very important to know this. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, be expectant. Raise your faith. Raise your expectation. We receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Galatians talks about, it says, that we might receive the promise of the Father, of the Spirit, through faith. The Holy Spirit is a promise. He's a gift. He's not a reward. We don't earn Holy Spirit baptism. We don't earn it. We don't receive him by what we do. We receive him by faith. So release your faith. We're going to pray for people today. Release your faith. When you come forward, be ready, okay? Are you getting ready in your hearts? Be ready to come forward, to be prayed for. But come expectant, expecting to receive, expecting to receive. Ask in faith. And we'll finish with the scripture. John 7:37, be thirsty. Be thirsty. John 7:37-38, Jesus says these words, if anyone thirsts. Do you know what it's like to be thirsty? Yeah, I'm going through it right now. If anyone thirsts, come to Jesus and thirst. Let him come to me, Jesus says, and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So if anyone is thirsty, make sure you're thirsty. Come expectant. You know, God has got so much more for us. But we have to come to God. He will not force his way onto you. He will not force himself on. And he says, drink. Drink deep from the Lord. And he says, out of his heart, out of his belly will flow rivers. Not a swamp, not a trickle. Rivers of living water. Out of his heart will flow, not perhaps, not maybe, well, we'll see. No, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. So, anybody wanting to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come forward. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God that you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. First of all, you must be born again. I don't want to assume anything here. You must be born again. If anyone here wants to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, sorry, just stand to one side for one moment, thank you. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we've got to get first things first. We must be born again. Is there anybody here? Close your eyes, everybody. Nobody looking around, nobody walking around. You don't know what it means to be born again. It means that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. And the only way that we can get saved, the only way that we can come born again, is to believe in Jesus Christ, that he went to the cross and he paid the price for your sin and for mine. And by receiving him, by believing in him, we become born again. So if there's anybody here, you want to receive Jesus for the first time in your life, won't you raise your hand and we're going to lead you in prayer today. I'm going to assume everybody's born again. But I'm just going to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and you are that Savior. I believe that you went to the cross on my behalf, that you paid the price, you paid the penalty, you laid down your life for my sin. And I receive you afresh today in my heart. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Today, the 29th of September, 2024, I become born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and seal me. Come and fill me. Come and empower me by the power of your Holy Spirit. We give you praise and we give you thanks forevermore in Jesus' name. So anybody, you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that will be the evidence of speaking in tongues. Why don't you just stand to your feet, everybody? Stand. Just stand. Yeah. Anybody as well, there's a scripture in Ephesians that says, talks about that there's one baptism but many infillings. If you feel you're a little dry, you're a little crusty, you need a refreshing, you need an infilling, why don't you come forward as well? Pastor Chris and myself, we are happy to pray for you. We'll be happy to pray for you. We'll pray for you in a minute. Come stand here. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Just turn this way, please. Thank you, Lord. Come forward. Come. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment. The Holy Spirit is here. He indwells us. He tabernacles. He wants to fill people's lives today. He wants to freshen us. He wants to refresh us in his presence. If you've received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I want you to do something for me today. If you're in your seat, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to extend your hands forward. I want you to extend your hands forward. And I want you to just get into agreement with all of us. And we're going to come around. We're going to lay hands on you. And you're going to receive. You're going to receive. Come expectant. You're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I do just want to say, to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I don't want you to speak in English or whatever your native language might be. You cannot speak two languages at the same time, okay? You cannot speak two languages at the same time. We're gonna come out of our belly. Funny sounds, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives us utterance, but we have to use our vocal cords. We have to use our mouth. Might sound really strange, might sound really weird, but just speak it, okay? Don't speak English or whatever your native language might be, okay?
There's a song we used to sing when we were in Bible college, and it was a very simple song. It just went along the words were just along the lines of, the Lord is present in His sanctuary. The Lord is present with His people gathered here. Today I'm just so mindful of that, that God is present in this sanctuary today. God is present with His people gathered here. And even as we reach out to Him, and even as we ask Him to refresh us, to strengthen us, He is present, pouring out His peace to such a wonderful awareness of the peace of God. His peace. His peace. Know that His plan for you is one of peace. He says, grace to you and peace. And let that peace grow in your life. Let it look upon that peace. What would that peace look like? What would that peace look like in your life? What would peace look like in your life now? What if that peace were increased? What would it look like with that peace being increased? What would it look like with that peace being multiplied in your life? That is the will of God for you, Hannah. That His peace would be multiplied in our lives, in every area of life. Peace. Peace to you. Peace to you. I speak peace to you in the name of Jesus. I speak peace to you. Peace to your soul. Peace over your circumstances. What would that peace look like in your life today? Look at it. Consider it. Consider it. Behold it. Behold the peace of God. Behold the peace of God. What does that look like? What does it look like? Can you touch it? Can you grasp that concept? Can you turn it over? Can you consider it? This is the will of God for you in every season of your life. He says, peace to you. Peace to you. Jesus. What can separate us from the love of God? Shall persecution? Or famine, or lack, or danger, nakedness, being vulnerable. Even when we feel like lambs being led to the slaughter, in the midst of this, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in this life can separate us from the love of God. And His peace is upon you. His peace is towards you. His love has been shed abroad upon you. Rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Rest in Him in faith. And He will refresh you. He will refresh you. He will sustain you. The oil of joy will be your portion. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. He will sustain you. He will lead you.
Praise God. Praise God. God is good, hey? God is good. You know, He always knows what we have need of. You know, He always knows. He knows best. I love that word. That was a prophetic word that God used, Pastor Chris, with. Let's take it on board. You know, it's a jungle out there. It's a jungle out there. We need to carry this presence of God. Allow this week, become aware the Holy Spirit tabernacles in us. He indwells us. He's empowered us. For those who've received today, take it with you. Take it into your workplace. Take it into your home. Take it into your family. Take the Holy Spirit goes with you wherever you are. There's a lost and dying world out there in that jungle. Let's take Jesus with us, okay? When He doesn't live in buildings. He doesn't stay here when we leave. We take Him with us. So praise God. I just want to, let's just bless the Lord. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for a day in Your presence, Lord. Oh, Lord, a day in Your presence is better than 1,000 without You, Lord. We love You. We bless You. We thank You for Your presence amongst us today. We thank You for Your peace, Your love, Your compassion, Your word, Your presence, Lord. We pray for those who weren't able to get here today, Father, that they would just experience and know the presence of God amongst themselves as well, Lord. We pray for those that are ill, that need healing in their bodies, Father. We just thank You that by the stripes of Jesus, they were healed and made whole. We thank You, Lord. Can't wait for next week, Lord. I can't wait again for next week. We're going to come back. We're going to hear for more from You, Lord, about Your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Holy Spirit. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.